Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, the verses 1 through 18. But first we shall read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1, the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Thus far the reading of the Scriptures. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is for the second time on the first Lord's Day of this newly begun year that we may gather in thy house. And then we humbly beg of thee that it may please thee to look down upon us poor sinners in the sun of thine eternal love. Thou art that sovereign God who art so free in our deep fallen Adam. We have left thee. We have departed never to return unto thee again. And thou art so righteous to leave us lie in our lost condition. Thou art never obligated to take a step outside of thyself to save sinners. But, O Lord, then thou wast given unto the children of men, unto us and our children, thy holy word, a word thou declareth our lost condition, but where thou art also gathering a church, the work of a triune God, thou wast chosen a church, thou wast sent thy dear Son into the world, he has suffered and he has died. A justice has been satisfied, and thou art gathering that church unto thyself. Then we humbly beg of thee that in this evening hour, as that heavenly potter, that thou may pick up those rude lumps of clay and place them upon the potter wheel of free and sovereign grace. O Lord, thou wast taught thy church to pray, thy kingdom come. And it is written in the scriptures that in the many followers of the king, in the multitude, therein is the king's glory. And to that end we humbly beg of thee, that thou may do it in this evening hour, that boys and girls, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly, that they may be wrought upon by thy Spirit, that they may be stopped, that they may be turned, that they may become a missing people, a seeking people. And oh, thou wast promised that those that truly are given to seek thee, they shall find thee, Lord. And may it be a year with a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit amongst us and our children. Oh, we can miss much, although our needs are manifold also in the time. But we cannot miss thy grace. We cannot miss thy favor. We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. Then thou granteth this precious time that we may be given to seek thee. Lord, grant then a prayer for one another, those that have learned to pray, that they may be given often at the throne of grace, to supplicate of thee, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. Wilt thou remember thy Zion? Lord, oftentimes they can be downcast, they can be discouraged, they can be bowed down, as that woman in the scriptures. There can be many riddles, impossibilities, as in the life of Joseph and of many saints, and of people with so many sins, and that experience that they are a sinner still, then it is necessary that the light may shine, as we have heard out of thy holy word. Oh, without thy Spirit, then the darkness comprehendeth it not. But when thou comest down with thy Spirit, when thou instructest, when thou comfortest out of thy word, then it becomes so different. Wilt thou grant the strengthening of the faith unto thy people? Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace to that end? Wilt thou remember and help the consistory in their manifold labors? Bless the labors on the Sabbath day. Bless the labors during the week. We commend unto thee the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Remember the visitations. It all awaits thy blessing. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers in the midst of the family circle to instruct their dear ones in the aforesaid doctrine? When thou granteth it, then in the day of tomorrow, then the school year may resume. We may acknowledge thee for thy sparing hand in the last weeks. Wilt thou remember the school board and their weighty task? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to and fro? Wilt thou remember the administration? Wilt thou help the teachers and their helpers when thy word may be opened? Grant thy divine blessing for young and old. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. The labors are manifold and the labors are few. May it please thee to thrust out more labors. And wilt thou also grant that young hearts may be inclined to study for teacher for our Christian schools, where the need is very great. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. Uphold the persecuted church. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants and the team. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember those that bring thy holy word to the far corners of the earth. Wilt thou be mindful of land and country in these solemn times? Remember all in high authority, the prime minister, the cabinet, all those that surround him. Oh, may they be given to yet bow their knees, impress upon their hearts that they shall be judged. They also have a soul for eternity. For thee there is nothing too wonderful. They need to be converted by thee unto thee. Wilt thou remember all the judges of the courts in the different capacities? Impress also upon their hearts that there shall come a day when thy dear Son comes upon the clouds of heaven, that they shall be the judged, and they shall have to give an account of the decisions which they have handed down. Lord, remember the manifold needs amongst us. Remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? Remember all our elderly ones in the care home, with those that care for them, those that are bound to their home, those that may still come up to thy house. Wilt thou remember the sick and afflicted? Wilt thou grant healing? Wilt thou grant strengthening? a wealth of grain, a crying unto thee. O Lord, spread over them thy gracious wings. Remember the crosses, the burdens. It is all known unto thee. O we remember prodigal sons and daughters. Remember the member under censure. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, then we humbly beg of thee for thy help. Give yet a few simple words to speak. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou remember all those that have come up to thy house? Wilt thou grant a holy attention? Wilt thou bind the Satan? Remember also those that could not come up, when they may also listen along. Wilt thou be mindful of them? Lord, give a heart to acknowledge thee for all the good things which thou was left amongst us and our children, blessed above most of the people upon the face of the earth. May it then be thy goodness and thy mercy that leadeth us and our children to that true repentance. Oh, that great judgment shall not be necessary. And, Lord, thou knowest that thou can grant us the most precious blessings, that thou can come with the greatest judgment, and without the work of the Spirit, that we only harden our heart, the greatest judgment that can come upon a people. But may it please thee to remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, grant in a good hour in thy house, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the remission of all of our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 243, the stanzas 1-4, 5-6. In vision to a saints God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. And what follows? 243, 1-4, 5-6. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 13, the question and answers number 33 and 34. Question 33, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for His sake. Question 34, wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Answer, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. Lord's Day number 13 speaks of faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord, with three thoughts. In the first place, the divine nature confessed. In the second place, the divine grace manifested. And in the third place, the divine honor ascribed. A faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord. The divine nature confessed. The divine grace manifested. And thirdly, the divine honor ascribed. Beloved congregation, then Lord's Day number 13, that is a continuation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbroek that the mediator must be known in his names, in his natures, in his offices, in his states, and in his benefits. Then in the past two Lord's days, then we have heard of the personal name and the official name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Lord's Day number 12, concerning that official name, then we have also heard that Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure, with holiness, wisdom, and power, to that threefold office. Boys and girls, you remember those three offices: prophet, a priest, and king. Thus then the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, then they have spoken of the names, and not all the names. We have mentioned that in the scriptures, that there are about 200 names ascribed to the mediator. Then the instructors, they have spoken of the personal name, and they have spoken of the official name. And now in Lord's Day number 13 and number 14, then the instructors proceed to speak of the natures of Christ. Lord's Day number 13, And that speaks of the divine nature of Christ. And Lord's Day number 14, of his human nature. Lord's Day number 13, speaks of the Son of God. And Lord's Day number 14, that speaks of the Son of Man. Then in Lord's Day number 5, then for a poor and for a needy sinner, a sinner that cannot satisfy the justice of God himself, then we have heard that there was made the need of a mediator. In Lord's Day number 6, then the instructors have already explained the necessity that this mediator in one person, that he must be true God and real righteous man. Then he had to be a real righteous man, that he could suffer and die, and so suffer to satisfy the justice of his Father. He had to be divine, that he would be enabled to bear the wrath of God, and also that he may make the application for his church. And now in this Lord's Day, there is asked, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? Since we are also the children of God, thus boys and girls, then the question in this evening is that Christ is called the only begotten Son of God, and only, that means there is only one. And yet God's people are also called the children of God. If you now to try to listen closely, then you can explain it to your parents, how in the scripture there is written of the only begotten Son of God, but also that the people of God, that they are called the children of God. Then it is a continuation and also an explaining of two more names of the mediator. Then in this evening hour, we have the only begotten Son of God and also our Lord. Then we read in the scriptures, we have read it out of John 1, that in verse 14 and in verse 18, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is called the only begotten Son of God. Then concerning that term, the Son of God, it has been questioned by the devil. Oh, in Matthew 4, when Satan has come with his temptations, if thou be the Son of God, and not strange to a child of God. Oh, when the Satan points them to their sins, when Satan points him to the impossibilities, do you now really think that you are a child of God? Is it not becoming evident that you are a reprobate? Oh, how a child of God is given to cry unto the Lord, that the Lord may confirm it, that the Lord may grant faith to embrace it, that Satan must flee. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, when Satan has come, if thou be the Son of God, then Christ was given to point to the Holy Word of God. It was questioned by a Caiaphas when Christ was suffering in the hall, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Son of God. The Jews in John 19, verse 7, when they have brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate, then they have said that he was guilty because they have a law and he has made himself the Son of God. And nevertheless, it is written in the scriptures, it is confirmed in many ways, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the only begotten Son. And then our instructors, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. In the year 318, in the midst of the church, then there was much confusion concerning whether Christ was the eternal Son of God. Then in the city of Alexandria, a large city in northern Egypt, there was a bishop, boys and girls, we would say a minister, by the name of Alexander. And that minister has preached the truth concerning that Christ is the eternal and natural Son of God. But then there was a deacon by the name of Arius. And that man, he also had his text. Oh, he has misunderstood the scriptures. Reverend Hellenbrook even addresses that question, because in Psalm 2, verse 7, there is written, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And then Arius has said, there you have it, that there was a time that the Son was begotten, filled with natural thoughts. But then Reverend Hellenbrook, then he explains it so simply and clearly, that with God there is no time. It is an eternal day. And nevertheless, it has caused great division and great strife in the midst of the church, where Arius has said that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, but he was the first created being. Oh, congregation, if that was true, if Christ was not the eternal Son of God, if he was not God, as we have heard out of Lord's Day 6, then he could not be the mediator between God and man. But because he was also divine, therefore he is the mediator. Oh, it has caused the great division. Constantine the Great has called a synod in the year 325. 318 were present, and then they have considered the division, whether Christ was indeed the eternal and natural Son of God, or, as Arius has proclaimed, that he was the first created being. And then much was spoken, and then the Lord has granted that a young deacon was present with the name of Athanasius, and he was given to arise and to prove so clearly out of God's holy word that Christ indeed was the natural and eternal Son of God. And then that council, then they have agreed with that deacon, and then they have made a statement that all were called to sign. But Arius has refused, and he was banished from his office. And nevertheless, Constantine the Great, under the influence of a sister, has put that young deacon, oh, it is true, when Alexander has died, then Athanasius became the minister of Alexander. But then he was put in a wrong light. And then Athanasius has suffered much for the testimony and for the truth concerning the Son of God. He was banished, exiled for 5 times in a total of 20 years. But then the first time Arius has returned before he would be reinstalled, then that Saturday night he has perished. It has become eternity. All it can be in the life of office bearers that there are times also before they shall be reinstalled. Does that ever happen, brothers, that there is the fear that they shall no longer be in the land of the living? It can be in the life of the servants of the Lord that there are those fears that there is a voice, that they shall not ascend the pulpit on the coming Lord's Day. The Lord has spoken, nevertheless, the truth has gained a victory, that precious and that necessary truth for the salvation of the church, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. When we read that term, the only begotten Son of God, then natural thoughts must be banished out of our thoughts. He is co-eternal and co-essential. And concerning that great mystery, then we read in John 5, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, there we read that Christ is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Oh, it is true. Adam and Eve were also created in the image of God, but that was an image of resemblance. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the express image. When we consider that Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, that is proven in many ways. Then in the first place, it is proven by his names. Let us only mention Isaiah 9, verse 6, where his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. There you have it, that the Son of God is also called God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Then in the second place, then divine attributes, the attributes that are ascribed to the divine essence, they are also ascribed to Christ. Let us only mention the attribute of his eternity. Do we not read in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever? And in Micah 5, verse 2, that his goings have been of old. Then in the third place, then the same honor is ascribed to the Son, then to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Think of the baptism, the command in Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then fourthly, it is confirmed by his works that the same works are ascribed to the Son as to the other persons. When we think of John 5, verse 17, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Then the divinity of the Son has been confessed by the Father. Think of his baptism in Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17, and in Matthew 17, concerning the transfiguration of the Son. Then the Father has spoken, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the Son has spoken so often that he was the son of his father. And then in the third place, even the devils, they have confessed that Christ was the son. Are those men on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, in the land of the Gadarenes? Then the devils have said, they have asked, whether the Son of God was come to torment them before the time. Oh, then the church was given to confess by the work of the Holy Spirit, because I read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no man can say that Christ is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus has asked the disciples who he was, oh, then many people had answers. But what sayest thou who I am? And then if Peter, on behalf of the disciples, was given to confess, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, listen to the testimony of the centurion that he was given to confess. Surely this was the Son of God. Surely he was a righteous man. Thus, congregation, it is unfathomable. We cannot understand it with our little minds, but it is a truth that is confessed in the Scriptures. It is a truth necessary for the salvation of sinners. Our second thought, the divine grace manifested. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Then it speaks of we, congregation. Are we included in that number? The instructors are given this Lord's Day to speak of the living church, since we are also called the children of God. Should that not be an important question on the first Lord's Day of this newly begun year? This morning we have heard out of Psalm 90 that Moses was called the man of God. And now in this evening, then the instructors are given to speak, since we are also called the children of God. In paradise, the Lord has created us perfectly, but we have fallen. We have left the Lord. And Jesus has said unto the Jewish people that the devil was their father. And how is that now, boys and girls, young people, and older ones in our midst? Have we now become a child of God? Has that become our concern? Have we wept tears about it, that we have to begin another year without being a child of God? Still on that broad way, traveling to hell, and only a step between us and death. Jonathan Edwards, in a sermon, A Sinner's in the Hand of an Angry God, then he pictures an unconverted sinner hanging with a spider's thread above the flames of hell. May it please the Lord to impress that reality upon all our hearts, because we cannot appear before our Maker. We need a mediator, one that lays his hand upon both Job has said in Job 9 verse 2, how can man be just before God? Then it is so necessary that we are so unjust that we may receive a deep impression by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit of our sins, of our great sins, of our many sins. And when that takes place, congregation, then we stand outside, and then we learn what it is to be unconverted. And then we become so jealous of that people who by free and sovereign grace may have become a child of God. Are there souls in my midst where that is the greatest question? Ah, when the Lord works, then he grants that love, then he grants that faith, and then he grants that hope, and then we shall be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. But oh, in the life of that people, there can be so many riddles and so many perplexities and so many roundabout ways, and then the burden of their sin and eternity before them. Ah, may it please the Lord in this year, in this evening hour, to grant light upon his own work, and how it is now possible that we may become children of God, that our instructors, they are given to speak of, because we read, but we are, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. Thus then, boys and girls, there you have the answer that you can tell your parents, that Christ, he is the only natural Son of God, but God's people, they are adopted children, and that through the finished mediatorial work of Jesus Christ and by the application of the Holy Spirit. And now, of course, in the moment of regeneration, then such a child is taken from under the banner of the Prince of Darkness and placed under the banner of King Jesus. But now for the comfort of the church, then it is necessary to be led into the mysteries of salvation, also concerning the precious mediatorial work of the mediator. The Apostle Paul has written in the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, the verses 17 and 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And the Lord has promised that he will take care of those sons and daughters. When we read, and that is scriptural, the adoption of children, then many beautiful thoughts come to our mind. When we consider the adoption of children, that is the exercise of the will of a father and a mother. That they adopt a certain child. So I read in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that ye may bear much fruit. Many a times, then such a child is adopted in a very far country. When we consider the adoption of the children of God, then through our deep fallen Adam, and then they have traveled to the ends of the earth, because by nature, then we have turned our back upon the Lord. But now the free and sovereign grace of the Lord, oh, then he finds that chosen people, oh, in different places than the one he finds in the world and the other in a way of self-righteousness. But he all finds them so far from the Lord. Then congregation, then we must place ourselves in the places where the Lord has promised to gather his church, and that in a special way, that is in the house of God. Because I read that the Apostle Paul has written that by the foolishness of preaching, that he shall save some. And I read in the scriptures, in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that his word shall not return void unto him. Then such a child, in a natural way, that is adopted from a different family, and so it pleases the Lord, oh, the wonder of that adoption, that they are taken, it is true, with a natural adoption, then the other party, then they also give that child up, or maybe an orphan. But in the way of grace, oh, then an almighty power is necessary, because they are in captivity, they are in bondage of the devil. But when the Lord speaks, do we not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Then he commands with divine power, and then such a one is taken from under the banner of the Prince of Darkness and placed under the banner of King Jesus. That does not mean that such a child knows that fact. 'Tis the same when a little child is adopted. Oh, boys and girls, may you be given to seek the Lord early. Ask the Lord that he may take possession of your little heart in your early years, middle-aged and elderly ones. Oh, with adoption, then as a general rule, then they are younger. But now when the adoption of the children of God, then there are also elderly ones where the Lord also gathers his church from all ages. Then further, then with a natural adoption, then there is a great cost. But now concerning, we hope to hear it in our third thought, oh, the cost to adopt the children of God. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to humble himself. He was born as a little child in the manger of Bethlehem. He had to suffer and to die. He had to shed his precious blood that such a child may be adopted. Oh, in the adoption of children, especially when they are very small, then they are so helpless, then they do not perfectly realize what has taken place. Is that not a beautiful picture when the Lord, by his grace, when he regenerates a sinner? Oh, then they are given to see, they are given to experience that everything is so different, that it is not the same as before. What they used to love, they start to hate, and what they used to hate, they start to love. But the wonders of that spiritual adoption, then in the next place, oh, for such a child that has come from a faraway place, maybe a different language, a different culture, then they have much to learn and much to unlearn. Is that not the same in that spiritual adoption? And those children learn that they are such slow learners. Oh, it is the Holy Spirit that is given to teach them in the mysteries of salvation. Many a times adopted children, they have many fears. They have experienced much in the past. Some have come from faraway countries, third world countries, distressing circumstances. They have learned what it is to be neglected. And now many times they have those fears that perhaps the same thing shall take place. Those spiritual adopted children, what fears they have. They learn what an unbelief is in their heart. They are so slow to believe. Do we not read of the psalmist in Psalm 42, verse 3? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why so disquieted within me? Do we not hear Zion say, in Isaiah 49, verse 14, the Lord has forsaken, and the Lord has forgotten me. Then the Lord says unto Zion, shall a mother forget her sucking child? That may be, but I shall never forsake thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. Those adopted children, they are showered with love. Does the spiritual adopted children, it is a grace that the Lord sheds abroad in their heart. They are drawn with the cords of love. They are given to taste the sweet things of the Lord. Then they are humbled, and then they become so small. Then further, then such a child is included in the will of the parents. Of course, when those little children are adopted, they have no understanding of the same. They come to a knowledge in their later life. And nevertheless, with those spiritual adopted children, they are included in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has the apostle Peter not written of that inheritance undefiled that passeth not away? And now it is necessary for the comfort of Zion that they may be led into those rich mysteries and what that testament has called them. Then adopted children, they are given to dwell much on the past. What has transpired in former years? Is it not the same with those spiritual adopted children when they are given to remember the past? With shame, with confusion, and then the wonder only becomes the greater. Who hath made thee to differ, that the Lord has sought thee out, that we are wrought upon by the Holy Spirit? Surely then they are given to be wonder the mercies of the Lord. And then when a child is adopted, and there is a family circle, and then there is joy in the heart of father and mother when there are siblings, then there is great gladness. Is it not the same in the spiritual family of God when it may be heard that boy or girl, that youth, that older one cannot live the same as before? They have become true seekers. They have set their face toward Zion. They have made a good choice of a Ruth, although many a times they are so timid. But it becomes evident that truly that they have been regenerated by the grace of God. When an adopted child may become older, and what a blessing in our day to speak of those mysteries. And then we read in the Bible of Christ as their eldest brother, then it is necessary that those children, that they may grow up in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us first sing. Psalter 4, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. By God's decree, His Son receives the nations for His heritage. The conquering Christ, supreme, shall reign as King of Kings from age to age. And what follows, Psalter 4, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Of faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord. The divine nature confessed, the divine grace manifested, and now thirdly, the divine honor ascribed. Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Answer, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins. Then the church has been redeemed, chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, gathered in the moment of regeneration, and justified by true saving faith. Then in this answer, then the instructors are given to repeat. Because we have heard that Lord's Day number one, the first question and answer, that was an introduction and also a summary of things to come. And then the instructors, they have said both soul and body. Do we think of our soul congregation? Do we believe that we have a soul? Or are we so busy with our body that we do not even have time to think of our never dying soul? A soul and body from all our sins. Is there a people that is burdened with their sins? What a precious answer for such a people, for a people that have learned that with all their efforts, that they are a sinner still and not a penny to pay. But now the instructor, according to the scriptures, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. What it has cost the mediator. What a love. What a willingness. That he was willing to shed his precious blood for the glorification of his Father's attributes, and that the church may be saved, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil. How is that, people of God? When we read that, delivered us from all the power of the devil, does not mean that we shall not be tempted. It shall not mean that we are free of his rage, because when the devil loses his subjects, then he becomes so angry, and he rejoices when he may pester his people. But we have heard of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is that eternal, and that he is that almighty king, and that also the assaults of the prince of darkness, because the apostle has written that all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose, and have delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. Oh, what a precious word. Lord's Day number one, what is thy only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but with body and soul for time and for eternity, belong unto the precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has delivered me from all my sins and delivers me from the power of the devil. Should that not be our question on the first Lord's Day of this year? What is thy only comfort in life and in death? What is your expectation, congregation, for this year? And then it is not wrong to ask and desire for the blessings of the Lord concerning our temporal life. But what is now thy only comfort in life and in death? And now concerning that name, Lord, then there is a divine honor ascribed, because Lord, that means possessor. That speaks of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Lord has a people that are given to acknowledge him as Lord. We have heard this morning and that of Moses in his prayer, and that he was given to speak of thy servant. And then we have heard of different ones that have called themselves handmaidens of the Lord. And now for that true people of God, not only to be bought with that precious blood, to be delivered from the power of the devil, but then they are willing, it is their desire, because the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. When we think of those adopted children, then they are given to learn the language of the parents, of the siblings, and for the people of God, that is the language of Canaan. Then such a child is given to express love to its parents. Then they are given to obey, and then they are given to follow. Although many of those children, then they learn that there is still much disobedience, in the life of those adopted children, unprofitable servants can be in the life of adopted children, that when they come to a certain age, then they start thinking about their natural parents, the country where they have come from, with those spiritual adopted children. Oh, then that flesh, it can be congregation, that sins which they thought they were delivered from, sins which they thought they have buried many years ago. When such a one becomes older, then it seems to come back. We read of the children of Israel that they were thinking of the cucumbers and the flesh pots in Egypt. And nevertheless, those adopted children, then they have a desire that he may be their Lord and their King. Oh, think of a Thomas. Oh, it is true when he has expressed those precious words, my Lord and my God, then it was more than a describing of his kingship, because Christ was given to reveal those pierced hands, and then he was given to see the priestly office of Christ, what our instructors have spoken of, that he has redeemed his church with his precious blood, young and old. May that question be taken home. Who is our Lord? Who is our King? Who do we love? Who do we follow? Who do we desire to honor? What gives us the greatest delight and the greatest joy? Is it when we may experience the wonderful things of the Lord and the wonders of free and sovereign grace? The Lord Jesus Christ, he has declared concerning who are the true children of God in Matthew 12, verse 49, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee, that we may come together in thy house on the first Lord's day of this newly begun year, yet a few words to speak. May it be accompanied with thy blessing. Well, to be the after preacher, may we be given to ponder over that one thing needful, to receive that only comfort in this life, but also for death and for eternity. Thou was granted unto us and our children, that we may begin another week, and then we humbly ask thee, and that thou may watch over us in the home, on the way at work, at school, also when the school may commence in this new year. O wilt thou remember our young people that are studying in higher institutions of learning. O wilt thou place a fiery wall around about them. O Lord, keep us from harm and danger, from an unexpected, and above all from an unprepared death. O wilt thou remember the consistory, when they hope to meet in this week. O wilt thou gather with us, and wilt thou remember the congregation on the coming Sabbath day. O wilt thou help the consistory, the brothers, and wilt thou remember all those that may help in the service, and may it all be carried upon the wings of prayer. O wilt thou grant in the day of tomorrow that we may receive strength and courage to resume our duties, the place where thou hast placed us, and may our eyes be upon thee. Grant a prayer for one another, watch over us in this night, bring us safely to our dwellings, give some rest for our bodies and for our minds. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 351, the stanzas 1 and 2. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies. As servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise. And what follows, 351, 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.